Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Okay, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour is on the air. Bob Getty, Kelly Center, Dima Mixon. We're in the Southern Bank Core Studio here in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, kicking off another week of sports talk here on Super Talk Mississippi. Glad you're with us, whatever stations you tune in on. Whether or not you join us online every day, we're just grateful to have you and our podcast listeners as well. Welcome back to the program. Opening segment today, sponsored as it is every day by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, which is be a great place to go eat dinner tonight. Great place to have lunch. Great place to cater your next event. I have ball team back in town this weekend, and this would be a great weekend to cater. Dickey's would be a perfect place to do that. Marchant Kenny going to join us a little later in the hour as we visit with Marchant, the Marchant Mondays every week to kick it off. Golden Eagles lose to Louisiana Tech over at Ruston Saturday night, 30-20, trail 30-10 at halftime. Outscored the Bulldogs in the second half 10-0, but still fall 30-20. Dima Mixon was there covering the game, and I want to run a few things by you here, Dima, and get your reaction to it. It's an odd game, very, very odd if you look on paper. The Golden Eagles outgained Tech 122-101 in rushing yards, 392-239 in passing yards. USM with 29 first downs, Tech with 14, 514 yards of total offense by Southern Miss, 340 by Tech. Time of possession, 32-36 Southern Miss, 27-24 Tech. The Golden Eagles won the game, right, Dima?
No, they did not. No, I mean, yeah, stats are one thing. You know, a lot of that was influenced by the second half where Louisiana Tech was just kind of running the ball. They weren't really doing a lot what they were doing on offense in the first half, trying to milk clock, and Southern Miss was able to stop them and force a lot of punts, so that gave the offense a lot more opportunities in the second half, which is why the time of possession is a lot more first downs. I mean, really, the stat that you didn't read there that I think is the most important stat was the red zone. Southern Miss 2-for-4 in the red zone, where they left 2 touchdowns off the board. They missed a field goal. You know, they also kicked a field goal late in the game when they were down 30-10 in the end of the third quarter, when it was, I think it would have been 4th and 8 in that moment. So they kicked the field goal there, which I think you got to go for it. You're down 20. You know, field goal isn't really going to help you with 16 minutes left to go in the game. So, yeah, I mean, I thought the offense was actually pretty good. I didn't think that, you know, there was a lot of, like, doomsday stuff on social media about the team. But I think, you know, we talked up this Louisiana Tech offense defense the whole week last week. This was a team defense that I told everybody on this program that this was going to be a low-scoring game. I had it 20-17. I said slam the under. But Southern Miss was able to move up and down the field pretty much at will against this Louisiana Tech defense. I don't think they went 3 and out but once the whole game. Mm-hmm. Or twice. They went the first drive of the first half and the second drive of the second half. First drive of the second half. So the offense was able to move at will. They just couldn't put it in the end zone, and that's what Charles Huff said after the game.
One of the things, Dima, that struck me was that Braylon Braxton, at least in his performance Saturday, sure did not look like the Braylon Braxton – that was expected at the beginning of the season. Is that reasonable?
Well, I mean, he did have the best passing game that he's had as a Southern Miss Golden Eagle. 392 yards. That's the last time that anybody's done that is Jack Abraham, which was several years ago for a Southern Miss football player. But I thought his decision-making and critical moments was where I think I can agree with you there. Especially there was a 4th and goal there on the 6-inch yard line, the goal line there. They got it to the 1. It was run. didn't get anything there. They tried a QB sneak, didn't get anything there. So then they rolled Braxton out to the left. And it looked like to me, from my vantage point, all he had to do was lower his shoulder, but he tried to kind of shovel pass it over to the tight end there. And, yeah, so then they knocked it down. And that was a crucial moment in the game. Another play later in the game, it was 3rd and 9. He rolled out to his left. It looked like there was nobody but green grass in front of him. And then he tried to kind of air it over to Carl Chester and didn't get it complete there. So two critical mistakes there. But all in all, I don't think you can look at Braxton's performance and say it was a terrible game. The pick six was really bad, though, and that was really what swung the game, in my opinion.
Well, that and the first and goal. And you don't score.
Yeah, but that was the game. That was the game. I mean, you thought that at halftime it was 30-10, and in everybody's head, you know, they're kind of writing them off. But Southern Miss had chances to get back into the game. If they score there, made it 30-17, with the way the defense was playing in the second half, you know, you felt like they could have put themselves back in a position to get back into the game and make it interesting at the end. But not scoring there, kicking a field goal down 20 was just interesting.
We may hear about this from Marshant Kenny. I had a couple guys text me over the weekend to ask me my thoughts about this. But, you know, with all due respect, I did find it odd to kick a field goal when you're as far down as they were late in the ball game. And to kick the field goal and then even later in the game to punt it away with, I forget now, 5 or 6 minutes left. Did you find those decisions a little surprising?
Yes, I did, especially the punts. They actually punted it twice in the fourth quarter. The first drive, they went 4 plays, 18 yards. They punted it back, and they're down 20. They gave the ball right back to Louisiana Tech. Louisiana Tech went 3 and out. They gave it right back to Southern Miss. Southern Miss then went 25 yards, and I think they were near midfield, and I think that's the punt you're talking about. Then they punted it on, like, 4th and 4. Which was very, very surprising. Yeah. The field goal to me was very questionable. I don't know if that was just because, you know, some points is better than no points. It would have made it different if they were like down 16 at that point and it was a 2-possession game, but it would have still a 3-possession game either way. So being down 20 versus being down 17 didn't really
matter. Have you got a soundbite you can
we can hear that for.
But I think, too, by going for those field goals, it just kind of sends a message out there that we're not trying to win this game, we're just trying to keep it close. I mean, if you're trying to win a game, sometimes, and you're down by 20, it's different if you're down by 7. But when you're down by 20 and you're kicking field goals, I don't know. It just kind of left a...
All right, let's hear what Coach had to say, David.
Yeah, hats off to La Tech and Coach Cumbie and his staff. Flat out kicked our tails tonight from the start to the finish. Really good job by them. Really good job executing their game plan. We didn't play well enough tonight to win. Didn't coach well enough tonight to win. Got to go back to the drawing board. Hope it's a learning experience. Not sure we fully learned how to win consistently. That's with preparation. That's with, you know, responding, coaching included. Didn't execute well enough. Defensively, not a great first half. I thought in the second half, obviously, we bowed our necks a little bit. The score kind of allowed some of that. But we did come up with some big stops early, and then offensively, we couldn't get the ball in the zone. So we go back to the drawing board. Really good job by La Tech. I mean, flat out punched us in the face today. So we go back to the corner and regroup.
And I think that's all you can do. What else can you do?
Right? Yeah, and something interesting he said there, and I wrote about it in my column, was that they don't know how to win consistently. And I think a lot of fans, when they hear that, push back on it a little bit and say, well, most of these guys won 10 games at Marshall, so that seems pretty consistent, you know. And so that would be my only, you know, interesting point that he made there. And the pushback that the fans gave on that was, well, all these guys won at Marshall, and why don't they know how to win consistently here? I guess the argument against that, of course, is that most of the transfers that came to Southern Miss aren't all for Marshall, and they're still learning how to gel as a team.
And you talked about the second half that Southern Miss outscored La Tech 10-0, but you kind of granted the fact that the Tech was just trying to bleed clock and not as aggressive as maybe they would have been. Had the Eagles made it closer than it was, then you would only expect that La Tech would have changed gears and gone to a different approach late in the game.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing with the La Tech's like offense was, it wasn't like they were just, you know, 10-play drives against the Southern Miss defense. The first two drives were like 70-yard passes to the tight end that nobody covered. And then they just ran it in for a touchdown. So that was 14 points. Their other score.
And nobody covered.
Nobody covered. Their other score was the pick six, which to me changed the whole game. And then they got a field goal. So, I mean, it was like if they could have just figured out that tight end, which they did, I don't think Southern Louisiana Tech was moving the ball the rest of the game. They did try to just run the ball. They weren't being aggressive, but there was also no one for that quarterback to throw to.
I thought it was interesting, too, that the commentators, you guys, in the La Tech broadcast said this weekend that it was a statement game for the Bulldogs who are coming to the Sun Belt, mm-hmm. and that there was some question by that the La Tech guys kind of felt slighted by some of the social media and media members acting like they didn't deserve to be in the Sun Belt, and then they put it on Southern Miss like that. It was a big statement game for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, and I don't think that Louisiana Tech is like a bad team by any means. I mean, that's a really good football team. Their defense is legit, and Southern Miss learned that in the red zone. And I think that they're going to win a lot of games in the Conference USA this year. So 3-1.
All right, as we head to the break, there is some good news, and that's Chris Jones. He continues to just be a stud. 14 tackles in that game Saturday night. You just can't play much better than that defensively. So kudos to that kid. He has really stepped up and it really making his presence known. All right, when we come back, we'll hear from Marshant Kenny. I'm sure he's got a view. I hope he's not too shy to express it. He was in Ruston, and we'll get his bird's eye view next.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans. TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better, faster.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Eagle Tire West sponsors this segment of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Former baseball player Matt Warren invites you to see him and his staff for premium Goodyear products, full auto and truck service. It's all at Eagle Tire West next to Smith Motor Company. Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg, family operated since 1985. Eagle Tire. Eagle Tire West, Goodyear Tires, full service, big Southern Miss supporters. As is Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Their sedans and SUVs are beautiful. You can check out Mississippi's exclusive Genesis dealership. It's right here in Hattiesburg on Highway 98 West, and they're open Monday through Saturday. They'd love to give you a tour. And I also want to remind you about our podcast. We're grateful to everybody that listens that way, and there are lots of you. Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, Alexa, or Siri will play the Super Talk Eagle Hour for you. Mondays with Marshant. That's when we go down to New Orleans, catch our good buddy Marshant Kenny, iconic football player, Hall of Fame football player here at Southern Miss. And Marshant, you're a tough-nosed old-school guy, but I want to tell you if you ever played in a game like this. Let me run this by you real quick. Southern Miss distances Tech at rushing yardage 122 to 101, passing yardage 392 to 239, first downs 29 to 14, 514 yards of offense to Tech's 340, Time of possession, 32 minutes, 36 seconds for Southern Miss. Tech, 27-24. Isn't that a game that Southern Miss should have won, Marchant Kenny?
Well, that's one of those where stats can be deceiving, though. Anybody watch that game for four quarters, you know, La Tech had more energy, had more vibe about them. They were hitting harder. I mean, to me, that's where stats lie, because that late touchdown we got made that score look a lot better. You know, yeah. La Tech took it to us.
Yeah. Now, let me start defensively with you, Marchant. That's how we've been doing this. You know a lot about this. Dima points out that even that stat's a little misleading. It's 30-10 at halftime. It ends up 30-10. Southern Miss outscores Tech 10-0 in the second half. But he said Tech got very vanilla in the second half, as if they were just trying to ride that lead and kill clock. And he believes that's one of the things that contributes to that odd stat.
Oh, absolutely. In the second half, they got very vanilla. And, you know, to give up 30 points in a half, that just kind of defeats the purpose of anybody saying that, well, they played better in the second half. You know, I'm kind of over moral victories when you give up 30 in the first half. You know, defense played better, some bright spots there. But, you know, that first half is hard to look past, where they just came out the gates and hit us in the mouth.
And offensively, the Golden Eagles could run up and down the field, but they just did not seem to have an ability to get the ball in the end zone. And when they got down close, no better example than a first and goal from, what, inside the 2-yard line and you don't score?
It was inside the 1.
Yeah.
I mean, they were on the 6-inch yard line.
And you don't score, Marchant.
Yeah, and I broke this down with my other analyst, my wife, Angela Kenny, on that play. And you got Braylon Braxton under center. And I love when teams do things like this when it's very short yardage, first and goal, or really close. And, you know, Braylon's a tough guy, running back. First down, run a sneak. He doesn't get in. Hurry up. Get line up again. Run another sneak. Just hurry. You'll get in. I know they will. And for whatever reason, you know, it wound up being fourth down. And what do? You get in a shotgun, 4 yards back even. And then you run a misdirection play. And, you know, that didn't work. So I just so much stuff in that game I can't grasp on some of the things we did. And, you know, I attribute the loss to coaching that game. They just didn't look prepared. The energy wasn't there. There are a lot of calls in that game that I have searched my soul to understand, you know. But, yeah, the red zone, we just weren't an attacking team. And look what happened.
You know, I actually thought the running back got in on that second down play on the goal line. They had to review it, Marchant. But, I mean, something that we talked about a little bit was Braylon kind of being hesitant to lower his shoulder in some areas in the game on Saturday, especially on that goal line play where he rolled out to his left. I mean, it seemed to me that he could have just lowered his shoulder and easily gotten in the end zone. I think he was one-on-one with a linebacker. And then he tried to flip it to the tight end there.
Yeah, if there's one thing we're excited about Braylon, it's his ability to scramble and run over people. And, yeah, that play right there, Dima, that just was, my goodness. He felt like if he put his shoulder down, like you said, he runs into the end zone, he'll get in. But he decided to throw it to somebody who was covered, like tightly covered.
Yeah.
And we didn't get points out of that. So some of the indecisive play at the quarterback position from that night, yeah, you know, Braylon's got some things to work on, but I wish they just let him loose in the running game. You know, his progression breeds. When the first guy's not there, the second guy's not there, just take off, man.
Yeah.
He is tough to bring down in the open field.
I think most of his passes were really good. The deep balls were really good. The receivers made great plays. It's also important to note that Jeffrey Pittman did not play for the Golden Eagles on Saturday, so they were down their starting court running back. He was on the sidelines with his – he did dress for the game, and he had his helmet. He just did not play.
In journalism school, Marchant, they always taught us to look at both sides of the story. But when you talked about some questionable coaching decisions on kicking the field goal or punting a couple of times, and again, I've never coached a game of college football, but new math or old, it just didn't add up for me as to why you would punt when you're down by certain number of points. Even a field goal would still keep it a 3-score game. Can you talk to me about the other side of those decisions? I just don't understand.
Kelly, that's the number one topic to be brought up right now, and that's why I'm pointing to coaching for that loss. You know, Braylon did this, the running back was out, the defense, this or that. It just didn't, it was odd watching the game. They didn't come to play. When you just kind of broadly viewed the game, I noticed the players in red were moving faster than the players in white, first of all. But, yeah, you get to late in the game. It's late in the third quarter. You're down 30-10. And you don't have really what you consider a high-powered, high-flying, explosive offense. And you only have so many possessions left. And late in the game, down 30-10, you're down three scores. What do? You kick a field goal late in the third to stay down three scores. So already I'm like, what was that? Then the one that just blew my mind, Bob, Kelly, and Dima, there's no explanation for it. It was almost like we just packed it up, let's go back home, was punting on fourth down with 7 or so minutes left, down 30-13, you punt. I mean, do you all have an explanation for that?
No, that's what I asked you.
I have no explanation. It's blowing my mind. Like, it's almost like we just gave in. You punt the ball, the clock's ticking, you may get the ball back with 4 or 5 minutes if you're lucky, less time. And so I don't know, man. I was highly disappointed with that punt. It just didn't make sense to me.
And I know that Braylon Braxton's numbers were pretty good, Marchant, but did he seem a little bit unusually tentative in running situations and not wanting to run when clearly there was space available?
Yeah, and that's one thing about him. He's just – this game, it just seemed where, you know, his first regression went there, second regression, he just didn't take off and run. I hope he's being coached to do that because he is such a weapon with his feet. And it just seemed like that side of his game was just a little off this week. And just going through the reads a little bit more instead of just taking off and running, man. I mean, you are the preseason Sun Belt Player of the Year because you can throw the ball in – run the ball. And so, yeah, well, they've got to work on that this week. He does, I know. Just, you know, that first, second read isn't there. Take off and run, man.
And I want to talk to you as a terrific defensive player, as you were. When you get gashed for 30 in the first half, what are you guys as a defensive unit even talking about at halftime?
The one game where it just felt like we were helpless, I was in the twilight zone. We just couldn't stop this offense. Even though we were top 10 defensive category all year long, was that second to last game in 96 in Houston. And, you know, they scored 56 on us in an overtime win, and Lee Roberts and the crew was doing their thing. But by the time they scored about their 35th point, I'm looking at Coach Thompson, everybody's looking at each other. It's a helpless feeling. It stinks. It's rare in football where you feel kind of helpless a little bit. And I've been there, and that's the one. And no matter what adjustments you do, you know, it's just not working. And it's not the norm when we played back then, but I do know the feeling. And, you know, the tight end on the first – they did a great job scheming our defense because you remember those tight end crossing routes a little bit earlier on. The guys were wide open, found the holes in the zone, and got some big plays at tight end. So they did a great job scheming against our defense. And we did adjust, but just – way too little too late on defense. But, you know, once again, just we didn't go to that game prepared at all, period, end of story.
All right, my good friend, I really appreciate your input every Monday, and I know you're disappointed, and I think Marchant was really on his best behavior for us here today.
It's just disappointing, man. We had so much momentum, and not saying we can't get it back. We're not in the Sun Belt play in first place in the Sun Belt with 1-0 record.
I say that based on our phone conversation yesterday, my friend. So.
Yeah, you do. I'm good, and I appreciate you guys having me on.
All right, buddy. Thank you a lot, Marshall. The great Marchant Kenny, everybody, and nobody knows Southern Miss football better than this guy.
Those Cajun swear words, I don't even understand half the time.
Yeah, he was a little animated yesterday when we talked, but he was being good today, and I appreciate that. We'll be right back.
Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Sure, appreciate Marshak Kenny for coming on the Eagle Hour every Monday, as he does, gives some good insight. Marshant, like a lot of people, disappointed, but it's one game, and there's still lots of football to go. And in fact, there's a game this Saturday night, so you need to make sure you come and support the team there. This segment sponsored by DBAT on Hardy Street, DBAT for baseball, softball, kids training, all kinds of adult athletic training, state-of-the-art facility, beautiful pro shop, gorgeous facilities, and just a great place we're fortunate to have here at DBAT.
Now, we are in football season, but I have to say that Bob Getty, forever baseball on his mind, he was criticizing the Louisiana Tech broadcast on ESPN Plus Saturday, saying that you couldn't even hear the umpires.
Yep. Speaking of baseball, though, fall ball started this weekend. Kyle Morrison, for the transfer that came in here to Southern Miss, I think he had 5 home runs this weekend. So he's going to be a big addition. But he can't ring it enough, can he? It's going to be a big addition to that middle infield for the Golden Eagles this spring.
But I said to Bob, I said, Bob, those are football, are they're referees.
Yes. We got the joke, Kelly. Thank you.
Not umpires.
We got that, Kelly. Thank you, Kelly. Thank you for clarifying that.
I'll just sit over here and be quiet.
Yeah, I'm glad you can sit. I get to stand because you broke my chair.
Yeah, he did. So that you'll know, we're suspicious that Kelly weakened the structure of a studio chair, switched it before Dima came in the building last Friday, and then let Dima break it and take the blame for it.
That's right. So now I get to stand.
You got anything to say for yourself?
Hey, like in the NFL, it's not who starts the fight, it's who gets caught. So he's the one that broke it. So
I guess that fight kind of got started and finished and ended by the Vikings yesterday, correct?
Worst single performance by an NFL team
no,
in years.
No, the Saints were worse yesterday.
The Saints are pretty
Saints
bad,
are
too.
Terrible.
Are the Saints the worst team in the league?
No, Cincinnati is.
No. Are they playing this year?
I think there's a rule against
that. That will be the national pillow fight of the century.
Yes. One thing we know for sure, there will be another year where Cincinnati hangs on to that record of being one of 4 teams to never win a Super Bowl.
Well, the good news for them
don't give in. Don't give that up.
The Commanders haven't won one either.
Don't give that up. Hey, no, they haven't.
The Saints get an easy one this week at Buffalo. That should be.
Oh, yeah.
If Buffalo just had a quarterback, they would be really good. Hey, look, we know that keeping up with your favorite team this time of the year, Kelly, is fun. Are you having fun keeping up with the
not so much.
Hey, the Cyclones, though.
Yes, the Cyclones are playing
but don't
well.
Forget about the most important player of that. You get an annual physical, exercise, and take good care of your health.
This chair needs an annual physical.
Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home. ForestHealth.org. We are truly fortunate to have that facility here. Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast, always available on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or Alexa. Alexa or Siri, I should say, will play the Super Talk Eagle Hour for you. And then speaking of exercise, Kelly's idea of exercising is to go to Mo Bay Beignet Company. It's 2902 Hardy Street, because he does walk from the table over to the counter, Dima, when they say, your beignets are ready, Mr. Center.
No, I must
I think they just bring them to him.
Yeah.
I must get in 20 to 30 steps when I'm there.
You must, yeah. Mo Bay Beignet, 2902 Hardy Street. All right, let's look around the league. I guess the good news from Saturday night is the rest of the league doesn't seem to be very good. James Madison beat Liberty, 31-13. James Madison now 2-1. This is a shocker. Eastern Michigan beat Louisiana. How bad are they? 34-31. Louisiana now 1-3. Troy beat Buffalo 21-17. Troy is 2-2. Arkansas State loses to Kennesaw State. Who saw that coming?
Not me.
Arkansas State now 1-3. Georgia Southern beat Maine 45-17. They're 2-2. Marshall beat Middle Tennessee 42-28. They're 2-2. Coastal won a game. They beat South Alabama 38-20. They're 2-2. Southern Miss, of course, lost to Louisiana Tech. Vanderbilt beat Georgia State, which I think brings nothing to the Sun Belt. 70-21, they're 1-3, except for that beautiful baseball facility. Texas State is 3-1. They beat Nichols 35-3, and Monroe got a nice win for them. They went on the road to El Paso, beat UTEP 31-25, and don't look now, but Louisiana Monroe is 2-1. Coming up this week, South Alabama at North Texas, Georgia State at JMU, Arkansas State at Monroe, Liberty at Old Dominion, Jacksonville State at Southern Miss, App State at Boise State, Marshall at Louisiana. Which brings up the next game, Dema Mixon, Jacksonville State at USM. Everybody looked at that early in the year, said, oh, Jacksonville State is terrible. It's a new era of Southern Miss. This is one easy notched win. You seem to think it won't be easy.
Well, you know, coming into the season, I did have this as a pretty easy win for Southern Miss. You know, two returning starters, I think, for Jacksonville State. New coach. Figured that they would have a lot to figure out, but they really have played well. They have a pretty good defense. Their running game is one of the best in the country. I think I was looking at it. It was let me pull it back up here. Their rushing attack is – yeah, eighth in the country. So really good on the ground for that team. Of course, Southern Miss's defense against the rush hasn't been great, but they don't really pass the ball well. They're 123rd out of 130 teams in the FBS in passing. But again, Louisiana Tech was worse than them. They were 129th, and they almost threw for 300 yards against Southern Miss last week.
So. I hate to even ask you this, but is this a must win?
For in what scenario?
You know, for Southern Miss to continue on with a successful year that everybody's hoping for, is this a must win?
I mean, I think so. I mean, you know, the next 2 weeks, you know, you play Georgia Southern on the road in a night game. That's not going to be easy next week. I think Louisiana, you know, I don't think that's going to be as daunting as a game as we thought. Obviously, Louisiana lost their starting quarterback, huge loss for them and a huge loss for the league. And you're seeing it in the results, 1-3 now. I think so. I don't think that's going to be like a detrimental game. But if you're trying to get six wins here, you know, you want to win this game. You think you can beat Louisiana. Monroe is probably 70-30, something like that, 60-40. Because I think Monroe is actually pretty decent. Probably not going to beat Arkansas State on the road. You feel like you should be competitive. Texas State will be tough. South Al is, you know, South Al and Troy. So if you're trying to get six wins, you know, you're trying to get them any way you can. And this is certainly a week that you feel like you should get one.
And what I worry about, too, is if you stub your toe again, it's not a conference game, so point well right. taken. But if you stub your toe against Jacksonville State, you won't be able to give tickets away in this, right, to this right. fickle fan base that Southern Miss has.
Well, I mean, you saw how quickly they were to jump off the ship. You know, last week, 2-1, you know, they're like, oh, we're going to win the Sun Belt. You lose to Louisiana Tech on the road. Oh, we're not coming back to another game the whole season. So.
And you know, and this is –
that's what happened.
And this isn't necessarily a criticism of Southern Miss. I think it's just countrywide, is that after COVID hit on Saturdays and you weren't having college games and things like that, people just changed their lifestyles a little bit. The Saturdays aren't as big a deal. Plus, you take into account then all the games that are on television.
The evolution of ESPN Plus was huge.
Yes, and so there just aren't as many people going to games countrywide. I mean, you saw Ole Miss this weekend had a half-empty stadium against an undefeated Tulane team. And I know they thought that they were going to steamroll Tulane, but just now they'll have a full crowd this weekend when they get into SEC play, especially with LSU. But I'm just saying, you know, in the old days, they would have been sold out every game.
Right, and a couple of notes on the games coming up for Southern Miss fans. I kind of like to say what game you should be watching. So definitely Georgia Southern at James Madison. That'll be on Saturday afternoon, so you can watch it before the Southern Miss game at night, 12:30 kick. James Madison is a 17-point favorite over Georgia Southern, who, for all intents and purposes, we thought that Georgia Southern was going to be really good this year. They thought they could compete with the East. So that's a game to watch. And then Arkansas State at ULM at 2 o'clock. Those two games, to me, are going to be interesting to watch for Southern Miss fans to see future upcoming opponents. ULM seemingly is much better than we anticipated. They're actually 2.5-point favorites over the Red Wolves at home. So how about that? And that's, you know, Jalen Rayner's Red Wolves.
And I'll tell you who's got to be uncomfortable today is Commissioner Keith Gill of the Sun Belt Conference, because, you know, Conference USA, everybody was kind of laughing at, saying, look at the leftovers, the scraps, if you will, of college football have all gotten together in Conference USA. Well, all they did this past weekend was Kennesaw State, the Fighting Owls, you know, defeat Arkansas State. Southern Miss gets beat by La Tech, and you got Jacksonville State coming in here this weekend. And as we've talked about, that's not going to be a cakewalk necessarily. So Conference USA flexing its muscles a little bit when it looked like the Sun Belt was clearly the better conference. At least at this point, that's arguable.
No, there's no question about it. Obviously, there were several Sunbelt Conference USA games. So obviously, Louisiana Tech beat USM. James Madison beat Liberty. Kennesaw State beat Arkansas State. Marshall beat Middle Tennessee. So several in ULM beat UTEP. So there was – I'm dropping my phone. I'm sorry about that. There's several Conference USA Sunbelt matchups, which I think, guys, is what there should be for non-conference. Those are the games that are the more entertaining and more achievably winnable games for Southern Miss football and all these other teams as well than going to play – at LSU or, you know, at Wake Forest or whatever it is.
I completely agree with that. And you should be able to – all fans should enjoy those games as much as you enjoy watching Ohio State and Michigan play. If you want to watch the competitive – I'm talking about from a competitive standpoint. To me, a really exciting competitive game between two group of five schools, every bit as interesting to me as the semi-pro teams or – whatever you want to call
and
it.
And once the MAC and Sunbelt start getting into their midweek games, they'll take more focus because it'll be about the only game in town that you can watch at night. So
yeah, and Southern Miss gets one of those at Georgia Southern next week, not 2 weeks from now on Thursday night, October the 7th.
Okay, Dean, we'll have the latest soccer results other side of the break. Don't forget, man, we really appreciate you listening to us each and every day. We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, everybody. Lee Roberts will be joining the program tomorrow to give his breakdown of the football game, upcoming preview of the Jacksonville State game. And Dima's always at the media day on Tuesday and done a really good job getting some of these player sound bites and interviews. We'll do that.
Also tomorrow, Bob, we're going to have former Southern Miss basketball player Neftali Alvarez, who's been playing professional basketball in Puerto Rico. He's going to be joining us in the studio
all
tomorrow.
Right, good deal. We'll hope to get some reports as well from fall baseball this week. Graham Crawford's working on that for us. So we're working right now to bring you a good full week of Southern Miss sports and going to keep our heads up and keep on plowing. And speaking of that, Dima Mixon, well, real quick, let me remind you. Fourth segment sponsored by 4th Street Burger. I want you to know I came up with that myself, Dima.
The fourth segment.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
It's almost as brilliant as Kelly.
Well, come on. Don't get carried away now. Right there in the shadow of the Rock. We love the guys at 4th Street. All right, Dima, news and notes. Give me something positive, Dima. Let's start with soccer.
Okay, well, that wouldn't be positive, but we can we can start with volleyball. That would be positive.
There we go.
They swept the weekend series, so they did
there
not. They beat Northwestern State, beat Grambling State, and Jackson State. All those wins into their column. If you want us to talk about soccer, they lost 4-0 yesterday. We can't do that, Bob. We're a Southern Miss show. 4-0 against South Alabama yesterday. So.
And South Al was like 7-2 or something going
into
that.
Yeah, they were pretty good.
Troy. They did beat Troy earlier.
Yeah. I think volleyball's off to a pretty decent start, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Those girls are playing pretty well.
Yeah, they've won a good bit. Men's tennis is at Tulsa this week. Golf is actually all the way up in Wisconsin at the TBC and Wisconsin at the Badger Invitational. Men's golf is up there in Wisconsin. Volleyball opens conference play this week with ULM at home, and men's tennis also is this week as well.
So. Right, now, you had some big news you shared with me from fall baseball scrimmaging this weekend. A new face that really made us
play. Kyle Morrison transferred to South Alabama. I mentioned it earlier on the show. Five home runs this weekend for them. I think two of them were opposite field, so that shows real power. He's going to be a really, really important piece to them. I think they want him to play second base, and we'll see. Oz told me that he's a little bit different skill set that Nick Monastir had, but they like to see where that will flow at second base. And then really the other news that we must mention and kind of some sad news, previous App State head football coach Sean Clark was announced that he did pass away. He was 50 years old this morning. I believe he passed away yesterday, but it was just announced this morning.
Yeah, he was an assistant coach at Central Florida and had, after the game Saturday, had some what they're terming as a medical emergency, but that was the same term they used when Mike Leach passed away, so you think it might be heart-related. But Sean Clark was only 50 years old.
Right.
So you don't think that pressure of college football does get to, I'm not saying that's what it was, but it certainly doesn't hurt anytime. It's just a very pressure-filled career, college football. 50 years old, and we've interviewed him, Demet, at
media days. I've spoken to him twice.
Yeah, it's tough.
Sad.
Tough anytime that happens.
Pay attention to the most minor symptoms. Never take for granted that it's just indigestion. It's just that. Don't make that mistake.
And you were talking about Kyle Morrison. If he keeps hitting the ball the way that he's hitting, do you know what position he's going to play? Whatever position he wants.
That's right. Oh, they have really good bats. I heard Gillespie's looked pretty good, which they really, really need to get him back going. You know, he kind of went that slump last season.
Right.
Obviously, you have Urban back. You got Higdon back. You got Russo back. You got Dre Barrett back. Tucker Stockman back. So a lot of big bats in the lineup for the Golden Eagle offense.
And I saw Davis Gillespie at church yesterday and said that his trip this summer up to the Cape was very productive.
Really well.
And I think – man, as much of a struggle as it has been with some of the other sports over the years, it is nice to know that, at least for now, the baseball team is on cruise control.
Yeah, they are on cruise. We got about a little over a minute, 15 left. I know that, we talked about Cincinnati really taking it on the chin. They've lost their quarterback probably for the year. And in the NFL, that we all pretty much know what that means. The Saints don't have one to begin with, do they?
No, and I honestly hope we go winless because I want to get the number one draft pick.
It's a shot at that. You got a shot.
Yeah, no, I think we do. And but the problem is they're still gonna draft someone stupid for the first overall pick. They're gonna pick like a freaking offensive lineman, another offensive lineman like they did last year in the first round instead of one of the great core college quarterbacks that could actually build a franchise.
Did he just say frickin', Bob?
Who's next for the Saints?
I don't even think you realize you said that.
I don't think I realized that.
Who's next?
Somebody that's rejoicing.
I think
Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, it should probably just be like a newsletter this week. They don't really have to travel.
They play Buffalo this week, don't they? In Buffalo?
At Buffalo. Can that just be like a newsletter, like a press release?
Can they phone that in?
Get pretty ugly pretty fast.
We quit.
I think the second string for Buffalo, it would get pretty ugly.
No, the Saints just need to go long enough to get that check.
Well,
maybe their quarterback will take a week's vacation or something.
Frank Gore Jr. could probably run all over, so the Saints' defense.
Yeah, it's pretty sad, isn't it? Pretty sad.
Very sad.
All right.
Not for Frank Gore.
But we're going to be happy tomorrow when we come back on the air. And we thank you for listening. We hope we make you happy when you do. Until tomorrow, 1 o'clock, Southern Miss.
To the top. Slipping into the future. Time keeps on slipping into the future.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus.
a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.